What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll.
Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up, get them up, get them going on a Tuesday on B&E. Lots to do, big conversations, including Texas baseball and football, plenty of football news. Longhorns in need of wide receiver depth, have added another transfer at that position. We'll dive in there. Plenty of baseball conference tournaments beginning today and into tomorrow. Longhorns see action tomorrow in what could be a very, very big game. We'll talk about their matchup with Oklahoma State. Also, what's going on down in San Marcos with Texas State, NBA playoffs, and their blowout last night. There's football news. We are 101 days to the start of the Texas Longhorn football season. That's right, tomorrow will be 100 days even. So we'll start diving into some college football conversation, over-under win totals, and never too soon, never too early to talk college football here on B&E. Show of the people. Off we go on this Tuesday, 24 May. Could be some rain in the forecast. Did it rain at your neck of the woods last night?
It just drizzled just a little bit, and then that was it.
I know. It's supposed to be storms and whatnot, no. But not nearly what as anticipated. I know there were some in the surrounding areas. I didn't get much either. But good morning to you, my friend. We appreciate everyone being there, however you're finding us. Early bird always gets the worms on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're always streaming for you, making it easy digitally on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas. Soldiers in the state of Texas and all those that fight for us each and every day, thank you for what you do. It is appreciated, and we do appreciate what you do for us each and every day. Thank you very, very much.
It's almost like the storms are going around us at this point.
Yes.
Because there are heavy thunderstorms south and north. And
lots of lightning, though, last night.
There were tornadoes out in West Texas. Spring storms, of course, in late May. But we'll keep an eye on the skies. Cooler temperatures for sure. We'll take that. But today,
I think 25 years ago, the Gerald...
Yeah, it was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, right around now.
Today, yeah.
I was just a newbie in radio when that happened. Our building was on Barton Springs, right there across from the Palmer Event Center, where that is, up on the 8th floor.
I remember coming to Texas. Do you realize that when I came to Texas, some of the craziest events happened here? I think the year that we came here from Illinois, they had the huge floods where Carlos and Charlie's was, like, underwater.
Yeah.
There was a yogurt shop murders. There was the shooting up at the Killeen area with the the eating place.
At the Luby's?
Luby's. There was the Luby's.
Well, that was 91 then, right? I mean, yogurt shop killer murders were 91. That was the year I moved here to go to.
Yeah, it was just really, in a matter of about 3 years, it was the craziest thing. I'd come from Illinois, nothing happens there. I came here and there was like five major events in a span of about 3 or 4 years. They were here. And I mean, I couldn't believe there's no water in Texas. I got here and everything was underwater.
Yeah. Well, the Gerald tornado was 97.
Yeah.
So that was 6 years later from the yogurt shop murders. But yes, 97. So we were on the 8th floor of a building that faced north. That's where our studios were at my first radio gig. And looking due north, so you could see this storm coming. You heard the stories. Tornadoes were spawning everywhere. That was crazy. Yeah, that was 25 years ago.
That was an F5,
year.
Correct?
Big time F5. I mean, in radio, we did all kinds of charitable work afterwards to help folks and, talk to first responders, and they were still in shock weeks later just about the devastation and what they saw in that tornado. And obviously there was a tornado warning yesterday for certain parts of our listening area, and that will continue into today. Could be some more of those storms bringing heavy rain and strong winds. So we'll keep an eye on that, obviously, today and into tonight as we get you going. It's going to be a fun Tuesday. A lot to dive into. A lot of conversations. Let's start our Tuesday with the headlines. Busy Tuesday morning. UVO Business Services brings it to you. We start with Texas baseball and baseball in general. The incredible season for Longhorn first baseman Ivan Melendez continued yesterday. He was named the Big 12's co-player of the week. That is the fifth time this year Melendez has taken that award outright or in a co-regard like yesterday. He slugged three home runs, drove in nine, leading Texas to four wins to finish the regular season last week. His 453-foot bomb on Saturday was the 28th of the season. That ties the school record. Melendez and the 19th-ranked Longhorns will open Big 12 championship tournament play tomorrow in Arlington. There'll be a morning game, 9 a.m. with Oklahoma State. We'll preview that game here coming up down in San Marcos. Meanwhile, the 11th-ranked Texas State Bobcats surging into the Sun Belt Conference tournament following their record-setting regular season. They finished the year at 44-11, and they've made a strong case to potentially host an NCAA regional. Yesterday, their head coach Steve Trout was named the Conference Coach of the Year. Their senior shortstop from San Antonio, Dalton Sheffield, was named the Sun Belt Player of the Year. They're going to open play in that tournament on Wednesday night in Montgomery, Alabama. Texas football news, in need of wide receiver depth and having missed out on the recruitment of Jordan Addison, the Biletnikoff Award-winning wide receiver. The Longhorns yesterday added a commitment from Iowa State graduate transfer Tariq Milton. The 5'10", 195-pound Florida native is a 4.38 speed guy, but battled injuries his final two seasons in Ames. Has nearly 1,600 career receiving yards, seven touchdowns. He is the third addition to the Texas wide receiver room via the transfer portal this offseason, joining Wyoming transfer Isaiah Nair and Alabama transfer Ajay Hall. NBA playoffs featured another blowout last night. Boston Celtics walloped the Miami Heat in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, 102-82. Led the game 29-11 after the first quarter. It was over from there. Jason Tatum scored 31. The entire Heat starting five managed just 18 points. Baseball last night, Round Rock and the Rangers took the night off. Houston Astros lost the opener of a three-game series to Cleveland, 6-1. Major League Baseball has suspended New York Yankees third baseman Josh Donaldson one game for remarks he made towards White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson on Saturday. And in NFL news, Indianapolis Colts have agreed to terms with veteran quarterback Nick Foles on a two-year deal. He joins a quarterback room that already includes Matt Ryan and fellow former Westlake Chaparral Sam Ehlinger.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Yeah, let me not forget the Branch Davidians.
Oh, yeah.
That deal, and during the summertime of, I remember playing golf and that stuff was happening.
Yeah, that was,
wow. Is that 90, what was that? 94, 95, yeah.
Yeah, I was at St. Ed's at the time, St. Edward's. So I remember being in college at the cafeteria, the reunion, they called it, watching that on the big screen television back in the 90s. Yes.
Tell me, this is a quiet little area until I got here.
Yeah, a lot happening, and it's getting less and less quiet
yes.
By the day as we get you going on this Tuesday. A lot in there. Not sure what's happening in the NBA. You know, for a long time, a criticism of the NBA has been, you know, the regular season doesn't matter, and teams, you know, rest players and that kind of thing. It feels like teams are taking games off in the playoffs now. I mean, Miami did not show up last night. It was like they took the night off, knowing they'd earned a split of the two games in Boston, winning game three. It's, you know, announced 2-2. Now, that game was never a contest.
Well, the bodies of these guys, you said it's a war of attrition with these guys right now.
I know. It's almost like they're saving themselves.
Well, I mean, they're hurting. It's a long season.
That's true, too.
And you can see it on some of these guys. I mean, those things like Jimmy Butler's knee, that thing's been bothering him for a while. Those guys play on it. But you get this deep into the playoffs, and all of a sudden you get guys that are D'ing you up that are actually in your face, that it matters to them. It's not that easy. I mean, Kyle Lowry has been banged up, and he's still trying to play, but he's no good. He's no good hurt. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, some guys are just no good when they're banged up. And then Boston put the D back in defense last night on them.
They did. Since 1970, right, 1970, I wasn't born yet. This is when these kind of stats began to be tracked. This is the first playoff game ever that an entire starting lineup was outscored by a player from their bench. Victor Oladipo scored 23 points off the bench. The entire Heat starting lineup managed 18 points. A great night.
Jason Tatum had more points than the entire starters did.
Oh, by almost doubles, they. And it's, you know, for TV purposes. The game was over in the first quarter. You could flip it off. You didn't have to watch much more than that. What are you seeing there, Zay?
Yeah, it's not good when you start 0-13 like the Heat did last night. And gotta show love to the Boston Celtics. They jumped on them early, and Robert Williams and Al Horford play really well together. Both the big men for the Celtics just really locked up the smaller Miami Heat. And with no Tyler Hero yesterday, sixth man of the year, second best scorer on the Heat, they really struggled finding ways to score, finding guys who could create for guys like Strus and Duncan Robinson and Kyle Lowry, like Buck said. Ain't the same Kyle Lowry mm-hmm. that came from Toronto, especially with this hamstring injury. So it's weird playoffs, Eve. No, all these blowouts and stuff like that. I've never seen anything like it. I wish I had an answer for it.
Don't you think, say, it's different when a guy's hurt in the fourth week of the season than this time of the year? If you get hurt now and your body's already, you know, been jacked around with the entire season, all of a sudden you come up with these sore knees and stingers and things like that. It's a little bit different this time of the year than when you get them early. Yeah. Obviously, there's not that much wear and tear early in the season. But now you played through a season and you're hurting.
I mean, it's playoff basketball. The guys are always not 100%. They're always banged up at the end of a long season. As they just said, we've never seen anything like this. And, I mean, now we're in the era of load management anyhow, where teams are, that didn't used to happen. Those guys used to go full bore all the time, and now they take nights off, and it's all about the playoffs. Now here we are in the playoffs, and it feels like the Heat just didn't show up last night. Now, you got to give credit to Boston. They did get the jump, but, you know, Jimmy Butler had 6. Adebayo had 9. It was almost like, okay, let's go back to Miami. They know they got to win 2 more games now, having stolen Game 3 to even the series. I don't know.
Now, Jimmy Butler's knee is hurt. They can't win without him. That's just it.
Well, and he played. You know? Which would counter my point. If you were Eric Spoelstra and you wanted to play the long game, you might want to sit Butler last night to get him ready for Game 5. But he only played minimal minutes last night.
What did he have? 6 points.
6 points.
That's not going to do it. If he's not.
Well, look, the starting lineup: Adebayo 9, Butler 6, Kyle Lowry 3. That's it. That's the scoring output for their starting lineup in a game that was never close. It was 29-11 after the first quarter. They were down 24 at the half, and it was let's go back to South Beach. It'll be a long series. You'll see a different Heat team in Game 5, I would imagine. But, we've seen a lot of these where it's just really one-sided and not much of a contest. It's not good for TV ratings, obviously. These are your most compelling and most important games of the year. And all too often we've tuned in and you're just not getting much of a contest. For whatever the reasons, that's what we're seeing. And, TV show matters as far as ratings and the popularity of the game. Now, the Mavs and Warriors was a good game on Sunday night. That was a 9-point ball game, but that one's now 3-0, where it feels like the Warriors have a chance to close that out tonight and that series and move on to the finals, and we'll see if that does indeed happen in Dallas. We'll get a preview.
But the Celtics have been a good defensive team.
No question. A team playing desperately against a team that was banged up and maybe not as desperate is what I saw last night, and absolutely, the Boston Celtics can win this whole thing. They were healthier and they were better, but in game two they got blown, or game three they were getting blown out until they woke up in the second half
and almost won the game
and almost came all the way back. But we'll see. All right, so we got NBA, we've got the Mavericks and Warriors tonight. I mentioned the Longhorns tomorrow. Our show will be shortened by 1 hour and 15 minutes because we're going to send it up to Arlington and Texas baseball. And this is obviously a critical opportunity for Texas and a critical game. The fact that they're playing Oklahoma State, the way the final two weekend series went, did not favor the Longhorns, even though the Longhorns finished winning 8 of 9 games. Remember, after they got swept by Oklahoma State in that conference series here, they took 2 out of 3 from West Virginia. They won all their midweek games, and then they swept Kansas. So you could argue the Sunday loss to Oklahoma State when they were up 7-0 and lost that ball game. When they got swept by the Cowboys, that was kind of the low point of the season, right? Then they had a lost Air Force at one point in there. Those are the two probably low moments of the year. Have they come back up in a roller coaster season is the question, having won 8 of 9 and gotten some things straight. Their offense continues to cook. Point of tomorrow's game, Oklahoma State, since they swept Texas, have not been that great.
No.
They got swept at home by Texas Tech. They fell. They were a team that was sitting at the very top of the Big 12 conference and looked like a team that was going to go ahead and win the Big 12 and go ahead and lock up a top 8 national seed and that kind when they left Austin, and they haven't. They scuffled. Again, got swept by the Red Raiders. They got beaten a series this past weekend, and they end up finishing 4th in the conference. And there are still some projections that have them as a regional host, but there are those that would say it's neck and neck with the Longhorns and Oklahoma State to maybe get that final spot, meaning tomorrow's game could be really, really big. If the Longhorns can get a win for the first time this year over that team, give themselves another RPI strong victory, and, you know, put the Cowboys into the loser's bracket, you know, there are some that would say that that could put them in a, you know, now you're in the winner's bracket, Oak State's got to play through the losers. If indeed I think most people look at it and say TCU is going to host a regional. Most people look at it and say that Texas A&M down in College Station out of the SEC is going to host a regional. Maybe Texas Tech is the 2 seed in the Big 12, but, you know, maybe it is these two teams. Oklahoma State and Texas is the 4-5, but they're neck and neck. Only a game separates them.
I got to believe this group's going on the road.
Well, but if they could beat Oklahoma State, and people are projecting Oklahoma State as that host team, well, maybe Texas takes that from them at the wire. I think it's that close. I mean, Texas is ranked 19th in the country. They're top 16 in the RPI. They're just a game back of, you know, they're in fifth place, but they're only two back of first place. That's how jumbled the top is in the Big 12. Point being, big game tomorrow. If they could beat Oklahoma State, put themselves into a winner's bracket situation, win a couple more games in Arlington, maybe. Because if it's between those two, as far
so
as...
So you think we're going from them having to win the whole thing to just win a couple games in this now?
Well, again, it really depends on what the committee's, how they're looking at it. Because like I mentioned Texas State. The Texas A&M, State has made their argument. I think the Aggies are going to host. They won the SEC West. They're 19-11. Really came on strong. Aggies are going to host one. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, you know, there are 16 first-round regional hosts around the country. And, you know, they do them regionally, geographically. And, if TCU, Texas A&M, and maybe Texas Tech have already secured one, and the fourth one from this region is going to drop to either Texas or Oklahoma State, tomorrow's game could actually be very, very big. Because if you can win that game, maybe knock them out or put yourself into that driver's seat, could be good, because if then they go, you know.
But you have to win more than just that game, right?
I think so.
Okay.
But tomorrow would be big, because if you lose that game,
you're done.
You're almost
assure
yourself of not. But if you win it, you put yourself in an advantageous position, because Oklahoma State's not playing well down the stretch. Texas is, since Oklahoma State swept the Longhorns 3 weeks ago. So pretty big game, even though it is odd to play a ball game at 9 in the morning. You know, that's both teams have to do it. You don't play a lot of baseball games where you're up early and going to play ball, but maybe back since, you know, high school ball, where you're playing those summer tournaments in the morning. But, you know, that's a big ball game for the Texas Longhorns. There won't be many fans there, I wouldn't imagine, at Globe Life Park tomorrow. You won't have to worry about weather, because it's a, you know, indoor stadium. They got the roof all closed. Won't have to worry, but it'll be kind of quiet.
They played well there.
Quiet. They have. They took 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma in that building, so have played there this year. The Longhorns have. So that'll be tomorrow. We'll preview it more as we move forward. We'll take your thoughts on the Texas baseball season. And again, congrats to Ivan Melendez, the Big 12's co-player of the week. That's 5 times this season. That is unbelievable. That's never happened before in the Big 12 where a single player has 5. He's going to be the player of the year in the conference. We know that. The question for Ivan Melendez, is he going to be the player of the year nationally? I think a lot of people think he is the front runner for that honor, the Golden Spikes and those type of things. But just a great, great season for him.
There's no doubt. Yeah, I think they're needing, as you said, they're needing that game tomorrow big and a couple more during the course of that. Either win it or get to be very close to winning the damn thing.
Well, I mean, again,
it's in their hands now. It has been. I mean, even though the other teams haven't helped them out, but this has been a roller coaster season for them.
Sure has. I mean, there have been the ups of an 11-0 start, number one in the country, then the downs of a rough March with injuries and a lot of road games, and then it felt like they righted their ship in early April and then had that, you know, rough stretch with the Air Force loss and the Oklahoma State sweep, and you know, it's been an up-and-down season. That is true. Now, can they finish it on an up becomes a question. If they do and can play well here in Arlington starting tomorrow at 9 o'clock, they give themselves at least an opportunity. But again, the percentages would tell you they're probably going on the road to start, but I don't think that's guaranteed yet in the Oklahoma State game. I mean, the fact that Oklahoma State fell from 1 couple of weeks ago, where they looked like the favorite to win the whole conference, and over a 2-weekend period dropped all the way to 4. They're falling, you're rising. Can you go beat them and maybe steal that spot? Becomes a question for Texas starting tomorrow. And hopefully, we're going to try to talk to David Pierce. Maybe I need to reach out to the athletic department.
What happens with Texas State? They're not in a position to host.
Well, I mean,
their record.
See, this becomes the question, right? I mean, their overall record is gaudy. They're 44-11. They've got quality victories. went undefeated on the road in conference
it's
play.
It's who they play.
Well, their RPI is 26, which, you know, that and RPI is based on strength of schedule
sure.
And all the metrics that go into it. But so 26 would tell you no, that they're probably set in as a two seed. But, you know, they're going to play in their conference tournament Wednesday night. You know, what they need to have happen is they need to make a run in that conference tournament and then end up playing Georgia Southern, who is an RPI, who right now is in the top 16 in the RPI out of their own conference. Georgia Southern beat them 2 out of 3 in San Marcos, the only conference series they lost this year. You know, 2 of their 11 losses came to Georgia Southern. If they could get a rematch with Georgia Southern and beat them, that would be really big because that would give them another really strong RPI win on their schedule, which maybe, and again, you know, they go win a few games. You're pushing 50 wins now. And yeah, I think they've made the best case they can, and they need to continue to do that this week at the tournament. But, you know, most people look at Texas State just since they are mid-major and out of the Sun Belt as someone who will travel. Texas, out of a power conference with the big stadium and all that comes with the Longhorns, I think have a better opportunity if they play well this week up in Arlington. But, again, both probably looking at two seeds at this point, but with work to do. But both can make their case over the next several days. So the conference tournament baseball, of course, we'll know on Monday, and Monday is Memorial Day. That's when the field of 64 is revealed, and all will be known when all the games are played into the regular season. But both on the verge, and both could have opportunities. We'll talk more there. We'll also get into the Longhorns football side of things. 101 days to the start of the college football season. Longhorns have added a transfer portal wide receiver. We'll dive in there. It's not Jordan Addison, obviously. Steve Sarkisian said he was not happy or comfortable with the depth at that position, and so they've addressed that. We'll get into what the Longhorns are up to. We've got some over-under win totals on the football side of things as well. On this Tuesday, it is going to be a fun one. Just getting warmed up with a lot to do. Should Josh Donaldson have been suspended for a game for calling Tim Anderson Jackie?
Come on, Jack. Come on, man.
That's a fair question. Also, the toxicology report is in on the tragic death of Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins. Get you details on that out of the state of Florida. And how about Westlake Chaparral's reunited in Indianapolis? What does the Colts signing of Nick Foles mean for Sam Ellinger? Get you details on that coming up. Plus, Craig Way has his report, some B&E facts of the day. Busy Tuesday, just getting warmed up on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Man, it's the boss. It's the boss. I saw where Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band are going on tour. Going on tour again.
Again.
Tuesday on B&E. Looks like rain showers coming into the lunch hour just after. Just cloudy this morning. As we talk Texas baseball and looking forward to the Big 12 baseball tournament. Also get into some offseason NFL. And yes, we're 101 days to the college football season opening. Not that we're counting. Actually opens the week previous. Longhorns don't start for 101 days from today. Real quick, Buck, on the Longhorns and their chances. Here's was kind of my point about how that tomorrow's game could be very big. Most experts who cover college baseball for a long time believe the RPI, the ratings percentage index, is the leading indicator of how the seeding will go come tournament time. But you know, the high and you know, that is based on strength of schedule, your overall record, your resume, all things taken into consideration. But right now, the highest ranked team out of the Big 12 in the RPI is Oklahoma State, right? They're 18th. Texas is sitting behind them at 20. Those are the two highest ranked teams. TCU and Texas Tech are behind both Texas and Oklahoma State when it comes to the RPI, overall strength of schedule resume. That's why I think tomorrow's game could be very, very big. And somebody texted us and said, how does a team finish first in pitching, hitting, and fielding in a conference and finish fifth in the conference? Well, that is true of the Longhorns. They led the Big 12 in hitting, pitching, and fielding percentage. But they finished two games behind TCU. But, you know, TCU had two more wins than the Longhorns in the Big 12 at 16-8. Longhorns went 14-10. And then three teams, Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, finished 15-9. So it's, you know, essentially the six teams in the Big 12, all six of the 10 are going to get bids to the tournament.
Now, does this come down also to a beauty? Does it come down to beauty contest, history of your program,
sure.
Size of your stadium?
Sure, I think politics matter. I think those kind of things, size of stadium and how big of a crowd can you generate, and those kind of
things.
That's
all a part of it too, right?
I think so, and I think it all goes into the package. And if it's that close,
you probably get the nod.
Texas
history,
you'll lean Texas, I think. But again, the Texas Longhorns, you know, the Big 12 beat itself up essentially. And somebody, as the question said, how do you do all those, lead the conference and all those things and finish fifth? Well, that's because they let two or three games get away late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they turned, they closed a couple of ninth inning games that they didn't against Oklahoma State or Texas or Texas Tech, or you can find a couple of others. And the Longhorns, you only need two more wins to be where TCU is, and that's who won the conference at 16-8. I'm just looking at the projection of who's going to host. I mean, look, the RPI right now would tell you that none of the Big 12 teams are in the top 16 of the RPI, which I don't think no Big 12 teams are going to host a first-round regional. But history tells you the RPI is a good indicator of where that's headed, which would tell you that the games starting tomorrow are pretty big, because it could break some ties. I mean, it could really swing things one way or the other. When you're sitting there with Texas and Oklahoma State that close, so we'll preview the game. It's a big one for the Texas Longhorns. Like, I mean, and Texas A&M's right there too, right? They've probably secured at 19 and 11 in the conference, but they're number 22 in the RPI or number 20 in the RPI. Texas is 22. They're right there together in that spot.
But it sounds like they're going to be. It's all in indications they're in, right?
Sure,
they've got there.
It looks like, and you know, the way it's pretty top heavy out of the ACC and out of the SEC. But you know, this weekend could be big. So that's a fair question for the Longhorns and Texas State. Throw them in the mix. You know, have they put the resume out there to host as well? It would be a lot of fun. And I think Steve Trout's team has earned the opportunity to host. But, you know, you just said it, right? Overall RPI, overall record, TCU won the conference in the regular season. That's going to matter. That's going to matter, I think. And that goes to total resume. But you go win the Big 12 Conference Tournament, you put that on your resume, you know, and certainly you beat Oklahoma State tomorrow, keep yourself in that winner's bracket, could give you that opportunity. But
so what do you feel like? Now, you're just saying you beat Oklahoma State, but you still, do you feel, in order to totally secure it, win the Big 12 championship, yes?
Sure.
That's the no-brainer.
Well, I guess my answer would be I don't know. I mean, the
win that game first.
I will admit to
you
that when I went to look at the updated this week's RPI ratings, I was surprised to see not a single Big 12 team in the top 16.
In other words, just win that game tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Just keep winning.
And I know that the committee's looking at the same things that we are, right? They're just crunching numbers and looking at resumes, and you know, they're very close. It's very close. I think TCU has kind of locked one in since they won the conference in the regular season at 16-8. But I don't know between Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and the Longhorns. But, you know, that could be decided this weekend. And, you know, I don't know that Texas State can get there either, but it'll begin with these conference tournaments. So baseball on the brain for sure. Major League Baseball yesterday suspended Josh Donaldson for one game, fined him as well. He will appeal that suspension. We went through that story yesterday that during their game on Saturday, Josh Donaldson called Tim Anderson, the shortstop of the White Sox, Jackie, kind of wisecracking with him. And, you know, that angered Tim Anderson, thought it was a slap, and racial slap at that, because it's in a reference to Jackie Robinson. You know, that led to a benches clearing situation on Sunday in that series. Josh Donaldson, after the game, said that it stems from an interview or a quote he had back in 2019, where he said he considers himself the modern Jackie Robinson, that he's bringing
he's
the fun.
He's got to change the game.
That he's bringing fun back to the ball game.
And he wanted to change,
And he wanted to, you know, that was his self-glossed title.
Right.
To which Josh Donaldson says even back then they were joking about it, you know, as baseball players will. And so when he said it, it wasn't anything malicious. It was a crack. It was a wisecrack, which...
Don't self-gloss yourself, Jackie, and don't expect me to call you Jackie if I go by you. You know what I mean? Because that's going to happen.
And now Tim Anderson, who, you know...
One-game suspension seems to be the deal these days. You got to get suspended.
But is that for show? I mean...
It is. That's all it is for show. That's exactly what it's for. I mean, that doesn't do that. If the guy has bad feelings, that's not going to change him. That one-game suspension isn't doing crap to anybody, except for the guy not having to play that day. That's it.
Well, Tim Anderson says he doesn't remember...
You remember having that interview where you glossed yourself,
it's
Jackie.
It's out there. I mean, it's in print.
Right?
And that's a pretty plausible explanation, and Josh Donaldson seemed pretty sincere when he said, what are y'all talking about?
What do you think the deal is with this guy?
Which guy, Tim or Josh?
Josh.
I think he's cool. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. For one, it's baseball, so we're going to joke a little bit when you come around the bases. But also, yeah, if you're going to boast yourself like you're Jackie Robinson in an interview, it's not like you're saying, I'm trying to be like Jackie Robinson, the activist.
If Change he said the world,
that,
yes.
If he said that, then yeah. It would be a little bit different. But he was talking about his game. So, I don't get it at all.
And you just said it, Zay. You know, baseball players wisecrack with one another. They joke. They rib each other. And it was not racially motivated. It was something he called himself. And you could see that as being funny. Hey, what's up, Jackie? You know, that's kind of funny. I giggle as he says that. If you're going to say I'm the modern Jackie Robinson,
He talked about how he's going to change the game in the interview.
And that's good. Okay, good.
Okay, then you come by me, you hit a home run. I'm like, good job there, Jackie. Believe me, I'm going to say it.
Well, and
would it be all right coming from me, Zay? Is that what it is? Is this what this is about?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Be cool.
And it seemed like a harmless wisecrack. At the same time, Tim Anderson, I feel like, blew it way out of proportion for them then to say that he didn't remember. It's like, well, come on. Then okay, cooler heads prevail. You forgot. It was a wisecrack. Nothing big.
And here's a silly-ass one-game
suspension.
So why
am I being suspended? And I think Josh Donaldson should appeal that. And I think, Tim Anderson is the one that blew it out of proportion in that spot, based on everything we know. And
it's just a foolish one-game waste of time.
Yeah. I was surprised to see that.
You haven't changed anything by giving that dude a one-game suspension, really.
I would think we all could move on from that.
Yes.
But we'll see if that simmers beyond. Let's let that one go. That one game came down. We did also, Buck, I mentioned this, the toxicology report, as we switched to the NFL, is out. And 24-year-old Dwayne Haskins, who was struck and killed on a Florida interstate 6 weeks ago in the early morning hours, was the toxicology indicates he was legally drunk when that happened. He had a blood alcohol level of 0.20 and 0.24 in two separate tests taken after the tragedy.
I was more leaning towards that way if you're crossing a highway with a gas can.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, he and his girlfriend were driving. He ran out of gas. The vehicle ran out of gas. He was going to try to find some fuel. And according to his own girlfriend, was standing in the middle lane on the road and trying to wave down traffic when he was struck by two different vehicles. First, a dump truck, and then an SUV. And obviously, he was killed instantly. Absolute tragedy, early morning hours. You had to know when the story broke, you were like, well, why is he on an interstate at that time of the morning? Well, that makes some sense that they'd run out of gas and were looking for fuel. But it doesn't make it any less of a tragedy, but a shame to hear that story, just 24 years old.
God, feel bad. That's bad. Bad for his wife. Sorry about his girlfriend, but I know his wife must have been upset about that. Oh, sorry, Buck. You didn't have to go there, did you?
That's information that is true.
Right?
Yeah. But it doesn't make it, 24 years old.
No.
Very, very sad. But Dwayne Haskins. And you know, it's interesting that you gave me on Saturday or Friday a Dwayne Haskins.
And I've got to stop doing this at the Mullet Open. I'm telling you, I don't know what that is. It's just happening that way, E. The year before, I had
somebody gave
it to me, and I know
a Dwayne Haskins signed Washington football team jersey.
Yes, to give to Charles, who is a Commander's.
My friend Charles Milligan, who owns Doc's Backyard, used to be Doc's Motor Works, and all the Docs. He is a huge Washington football team fan.
Yes,
from way back, and so you said, you know what, we don't want to put this in an auction. Because what's the second year in a row you've had a jersey of a
dead NFL player? Yes. What am I doing?
Who was the year before?
Cedric Benson.
Oh,
it was.
That's different.
Yeah, but
that's way different.
Yeah, I guess, but I that's it. No more jerseys.
No more jerseys.
Oh, it just happened that way. But, you know, and I had Cedric Benson's in this beautiful frame, and it fell off the table. Remember?
I remember that.
It fell off the table, and the frame broke. I mean, man, busted up all over the place.
And that was a tragic story, obviously, too. Which said
yes.
Terrible.
Both are tragic.
No question. But three times the legal limit for Dwayne Haskins in that incident. Hopefully, or could have been avoided, you would think, but at the same time, that's how it all went down. It appears in the early morning hours 6 weeks ago. As for the Josh Donaldson suspension, this is just because you guys are okay with someone calling out your name or because people joke around doesn't make it okay.
No, I didn't say that. We didn't say that either. Why don't you quit putting words in everybody's mouth? We didn't say that. We understand. We have that's just our opinion on it. You can have your opinion on it too.
Well,
just because I have an opinion on the radio doesn't mean I'm right on my opinion. You may be totally right in the way you think about it. This is the way I thought about it. That's all it is.
I mean, I guess if people got suspended a game for every time they made a wisecrack to an opponent and were talking some smack, I mean, who would ever play? This is baseball. This is what they do. They call each other things. They have fun. They crack wise, as they say. I mean, well, if you want to get sensitive about it every time it happens, give me a break.
Not going to have many players out on the field playing. They're going to be all suspended.
I'm more offended that this fool called himself Jackie Robinson in the first place.
That's what I'm saying.
Are we kidding me?
No. I have a hard time understanding the controversy in this story, except for Tim Anderson. If he indeed forgot in real time that I forgot I said that and thought it was, something racially motivated calling him Jackie Robinson, well, it was a joke, a personal joke that they used, that Josh Donaldson says they used to joke about. A lot of people used to joke about it. I don't know. I guess we're too sensitive.
Tim Anderson, as a man, you should have said, look, Josh, a lot of things have happened since 2019 to 2022. Now that's not funny to me anymore. That's what you should have said and kept it between y'all. Don't blow it up.
Well, he acts like they were never really boys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Try to blow it up and stuff. That's too much.
Well, people are pointing out that Aaron Judge, his own teammate, said that, joke or not, I don't think it's the right thing to do there. Well, okay.
But should
he be suspended? I mean, really? Was there anything malicious about it? Was it malicious or was it just a wisecrack? Again, if you're suspended for any trash talk or smack talk you do on a baseball field or a football field or a basketball court, I don't know where we're headed with that.
Yeah, well, you're getting that phony one-game suspension. Here's a game suspension for you. Yeah, what has that done?
It seems pretty harmless, but at the same time, okay, was it somewhat offensive or could have been? Sure, but that's what wisecracks are. Jokes, cracking wise. I don't know. We'll take your thoughts on it. Aaron Judge was
as you say, don't be glossing yourself the next Jackie. I'm Jackie. I want to be the next. I'm going to be the next Jackie Robinson.
Come on, man.
Whatever way you put it.
Come on, dog.
Okay.
People are sensitive. We're so sensitive. Let's be sensitive. We're all going to sensitivity training. We're all learning. But Josh Donaldson suspended. We'll come back. We roll on all morning. We'll get some Texas football. We've got some over-under win totals. If you're looking at Vegas, the over-under win totals, what they think. There really isn't a clear favorite in the Big 12 Conference. We'll get you details on that when we start talking some college football. Also get some B&E facts of the day. Can the Dallas Mavericks stave off elimination tonight in the NBA's playoffs? We'll preview that matchup as well this morning. B&E on a busy Tuesday. First, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Tuesday on the Horn, B&E with you. Some facts of the day before the top of the hour. Also, a final thought on this Tim Anderson story, Buck, is the irony for me is that it circles around Jackie Robinson, right? No one took more abuse on a baseball field for his bravery and for breaking the color barrier than Jackie Robinson, right? No one was called more names, more vicious things, and had to take it.
I should have said, I'm going to be like the Say Hey Kid or something. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
The irony for me is that now here we are in 2022 and a joke based on that, Jackie Robinson endured so much abuse on the baseball field as he broke the color barrier that we're now suspending players for this, for not minor comments, in my opinion. But that's where we are. He'll serve as one game suspension if his appeal is upheld or whatever, however that plays out. That story is out there this morning. We're also talking Texas baseball, Texas State baseball, little golf. You know, we had the stat yesterday, Buck, on a B&E fact of the day. This was pretty remarkable that we know that Justin Thomas won the PGA Championship on Sunday in Southern Hills. Will Zalatoris finished second in that and losing in the playoff. But we mentioned that five times already in eight major starts, Will Zalatoris has finished in the top 10 five times. That's the most. He joins One other golfer, Ernie Els, in that category, which you wonder, could Will Zalatoris out of the state of Texas be a major champion coming up? Is that a guy to watch if he can improve his putting?
Has he won a PGA event
yet? No, no. No, that's – but he's finished – like he was he was top 10 at the Masters this year. He's top. He's second at the PGA, and he's only started eight majors and finished in the top 10.
But he's not – he hasn't finished. He needs to finish.
Yeah. He's putting himself there more than anyone. That's pretty incredible.
He's making money, for sure.
And I saw this question asked by Kyle Porter, who's a great golf writer for CBS Sports. And I'd ask you this question, too. He says, of the following group of golfers, who ends their career with the most majors – Rory, who currently has four career major championships. Brooks Koepka has four career majors. Jordan Spieth with three. Colin Morikawa has two. Justin Thomas has two. Dustin Johnson, two. John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau, all with one. If you had to pick one of those golfers who, when it's all said and done, has the most career majors, who would you pick?
John Rahm.
Ooh, like that. The Rahminator. With that short backswing, powerful swing. That's interesting.
The way the courses are being built, yeah.
You think so?
Yep.
Gosh, Spieth would have a strong argument.
Just, well, he's got a pretty good start right there.
Yeah, with three. Brooks Koepka roared.
Until I get my $1,000, I'm not saying anything about Jordan Spieth. Because Brooksy's just got to get better. That guy's, his injuries, I mean, I think when you get those hand injuries that some of these guys are getting now. A lot of these guys are getting these wrist and hand injuries. Wow.
Well, those are devastating for a golfer. Between the back and and hand or arm, yeah, that's not going to work. But it is interesting. And I think your pick is there. This says, that dude has the worst putting stroke ever. No amount of work is fixing that. He'll be driving a truck in 5 years. I don't know about that. I mean, his career earnings would already tell you he's probably not going to be driving a truck. He made some pretty good scratch yesterday, or Sunday, finishing second runner-up at the PGA Championship. I think I'm
the year he was so hot when he was number one for almost a whole year. He was hitting bombs of putts. Remember those final holes when John Rahm was real, real hot. I mean, that guy was making, you know, left to righters, right to lefters, you know, 30-foot putts.
Somebody says Justin Thomas, crazy consistent, always in the top six.
Well, yeah, he is.
That's a fair point.
That's pretty fair, too.
He's in that with two.
I seem to pick JT a lot more than I would pick Rahm. And
you know, Rory has four, but he blazed out to those four, and he hasn't, when he led after the first round this past weekend on Thursday, that's the first time he's led at a major in like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, and Rory seems like the guy who's really settled into family kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's this Colin Morikawa, he won two during the pandemic, right? Maybe he doesn't like crowds.
Doesn't like the crowds on Sunday.
Like, remember Morikawa was like ice but water when there were no
right.
people there. And now it's crowd, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like galleries, I don't know.
Where's Patrick Cantlay and all that? Because I would if Cantlay was a part of that deal.
Gotta win one.
That's right, he hasn't won them. Is this about majors?
Yeah. Major championships.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking just still John Rahm.
I think Cantlay's biggest tour win was the Jack Nicklaus event there in Columbus.
He's got a few of those. I mean, hell, plus he's got FedEx money in his pocket.
I'll take your thoughts on that. Who you got? Well, where has Bryson DeChambeau gone? Remember when he was the talk of golf? Hand injury. Brooks Koepka's got injuries.
Brooks A.
Who you got? What happened to Dustin Johnson? Is he caught up in Paulina Gretzky or what? I don't know. That guy doesn't contend anymore. We'll be back. B&E with you.
Caught up in it, all right.
Caught up in it for sure. We'll reset those headlines. More honors coming for Ivan Melendez. Also a big honor down in San Marcos for a Texas State Bobcat we'll let you know about. And we got another blowout in the NBA. This one wasn't close last night in Beantown. Plenty to do. B&E on a Tuesday. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.